Well, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Matthew and the chapter 13. And I'd like just to remind you of the verse that we're looking at. It's the verse 38, or at least part of that verse. The important phrase in the verse. Let me read all of the verse and then I'll underline the important phrase that we're looking at. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The phrase we're looking at and considering is, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And of course, that speaks of every Christian. Every Christian is here represented under this image. Good seed, like wheat growing in a field, which will, of course, bring forth a very beneficial harvest. But in this particular field that we're looking at, we know that there's tares, false wheat. Tares look like wheat, but they don't give a harvest that's good. Instead, they merely are a hindrance to the wheat in that they rob from the ground the nourishment that could be going to the wheat and should be going to the wheat. So they're a nuisance, they're a plague, and in this world there is the good seed and the bad seed. There are those who are born of God and then there's those who are not. And they're called the children of the devil. Now, I'd like to take up where we left off all that time ago, before you went away on your big long midterm break. And let me remind you of that, because I'm sure memories have failed a wee bit. We were talking about the fact there are two kingdoms in this world. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. There were a lot of titles given to it. And the other kingdom, it's the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of darkness, the head of which is the prince of darkness. And we must remember, as the people of God, that we must put first all things related to God's kingdom. We read in Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God. That must be our priority. Before anything else, we have to put the cause of God, the kingdom of God, the interests of God first, before anything else. Do you remember? It just comes to my mind when I use the word first. You remember when Elijah came to the lady, the widow of Sarepta? There was a famine, and she was out gathering, she said, two sticks to cook the last meal for her and her son. She had no more food in the house. She was just going to make the last meal. And Elijah came and made a most strange request. It sounded an awful request, a selfish request. He said, bake me a little cake first. That sounded terrible. It especially sounded terrible when he was a man of God. And he was saying to this poor widow woman who had only enough meal to make food for herself and her son, the last meal they would have. And he comes along and says, make me something first. Well, that woman knew that that command from Elijah was coming from the Lord, and she had a choice to make. Do I put the Lord first, or myself and my son first? And she made the right choice. She put the Lord first. And she made the cake for Elijah first, before herself and her son. And as a result, well, we know the story, don't we? The meal in the barrel had not in the least diminished, nor had the oil supply that she had. And it continued like that. God kept adding to it so that it never went down. And that's what comes from putting God first, seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, sometimes it's not easy to do that. Naturally, when you put God's kingdom first, you're putting everything else second. And oftentimes, there are objections to you doing that. There are those who feel aggrieved at you doing that. If you look to Acts chapter 5, you have an instance where the apostles are required to make a decision. In the verse 28, we have the council, that is really the chief religious authority in Jerusalem, speaking unto the apostles. And they said, did not we straitly? Now, you know what the word straitly means. It doesn't mean straight, but it's that word that we find used in the term straitjacket. And a straight jacket is a jacket that you put on someone that you can't control. They're going mad. They're going berserk. And they're put into a jacket that just can't move in. They're tied down. Prisoners sometimes are so beside themselves with rage and fury, they have to be put in this straight jacket. And the straight, that word means narrow, restricting. And a straight jacket is narrow, you can't move in it. And it so confines the man or the woman who is a danger to themselves and everybody else around them and must be confined. Well, that's what the word straight means here. Did we not put on you this restriction? Did we not straitly command you? Give a command that was very tight and restricting, that ye should not teach in his name. And behold, ye fill Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon. I never can look at this verse, but it carries me way, 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 way back to a time when I remember preaching at a rally just after we came out of jail in 1966. And of course, at that time, the authorities here in Northern Ireland were very opposed to what the Free Presbyterian Church was saying and preaching. And they were wanting to have us stop the preaching that we were engaged in. And they wanted to restrict the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church at that time. And I remember preaching, as I say, at a rally, and this was my text. And I was sort of saying, well, this is what the government is saying. Did we not command thee that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Oh, how effective was the preaching of the apostles. They filled Jerusalem with the doctrine of the gospel. That should be our desire, to flood the land with the doctrine of the gospel. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. That is the blood of Christ. The preachers of the gospel back then preached in such a fashion as to make men guilty of the crucifixion of Christ. And that's an emphasis that still should be made. We want to make men feel that they're guilty of rejecting and crucifying Christ. That's the thrust of the preaching of the apostles, and it should still be our preaching. Well, these leaders, they didn't like this preaching, naturally enough. And they were saying, didn't we tell you to stop this? And the response of Peter and the other apostles, we are told in verse 29, was, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. You know what that means? We have to put the kingdom of God first. We have to put the law of the kingdom of God first. We have to obey it before the commands of men. If the commands of men are contrary to the commands of God. And that's a simple principle, boys and girls, that you have to live by. When men say that which is opposite to what God says, then you have to go God's way and offend men and take whatever consequences come upon you. And this has been the choice of God's people throughout the ages. And in consequence, there have been many, many, many times when, by obeying God first, suffering and persecution and death has come to countless multitudes of the saints of God. And I wouldn't be faithful if I didn't tell you that the Word of God teaches us very plainly that at the end of this age, such times are coming again. Such times are coming again. There's a weatherman, I'm not sure if he's still alive, but they called him Fish, Mr. Fish. And many, many years ago, he gave a weather forecast. It became very famous, much to the shame of Mr. Fish. And it's been played over many times since to show how even the weatherman can get it wrong. He said on this occasion, years and years and years ago, it might be 30 years ago at least, he said on this occasion, it has been suggested there's a hurricane coming. Well, I want to assure you that there's no hurricane coming. And that night, a hurricane came. People were killed. And there were more trees tossed in England than there ever had been before, at least as far as records are concerned. Thousands and thousands and thousands of the biggest, the oldest, the grandest trees in England were tossed, and Mr. Fish was made to look very foolish. He got it wrong. Now, preachers who do not correctly and properly report what God says is coming are like Mr. Fish, only worse. God tells us that there are troublesome times, hard times, times of persecution and suffering for the people of God coming. Because there is a time coming when more and more of the world is going to demand, you do what we want. It doesn't matter what God says. And we see that breaking out around us. This pressure on our little country here. And I'm sure you older ones will have heard something about it. Pressure on this little country to change the law concerning abortion. The rest of the United Kingdom has more or less opened the door to unrestricted abortion. Here in Northern Ireland, that is illegal. But London is putting pressure on the legislators here in Northern Ireland. Change the law. Now, the law in Northern Ireland is what it is because of what the Bible says. Because of what the Bible says. I not say for the moment that the law in Northern Ireland is perfectly what the Bible says. But the restrictions on abortion that are found here in Northern Ireland have been placed in law because of the influence of the Bible. In the rest of the United Kingdom, they have no conscience about murdering, and I use that word, they don't use that word, but I use that word, murdering unborn children. They don't see anything wrong in that. Here in Northern Ireland, there is a conscience about that, and there's a stand taken. But there's pressure on Northern Ireland to change this law. And I can tell you that's going to grow more and more and more. Oh, there's plenty of people in Northern Ireland who want the law changed. People who have no regard for the Bible. No regard for what God says. They just want what they feel is right. They don't care whether or not it's against God's law. Oh, there's plenty, all too many of them who think that. But there's still a sizable number of people in Northern Ireland who do not believe it's right to change the law as it stands regarding abortion. And that's just a tiny example of the increasing pressure there is, and which will continue to increase and become far worse, on everything that is based upon the Word of God. There will be a demand to change it, to alter it. And there will be such a demand that those who want to hold fast by God's truth will find themselves facing penalties, facing prison, aye, and maybe worse. It all springs from our responsibility to seek first the kingdom of God. You see, the farmer who plants good seed is looking for a good harvest. He's looking for a beneficial harvest. And God has planted good seed in this world, and he would have us who are born of this seed to produce a good harvest. I think I said something akin to this when I spoke to you earlier. God has chosen the place and the time of our planting. That's worth thinking about, young people. That's worth thinking about. Did you choose the family in which you were born? No, you didn't. But in the kindness of God, you were born into a Christian family. And God has placed you there under the influence of the gospel. And it is in order that you might produce good for him. I'll read to you some words from the book of Jeremiah, the chapter 1. When Jeremiah learned that God had a purpose for him. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah is told by the Lord, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and I might say that it's believed, and believed with quite a good basis, that Jeremiah was only a teenager when this word came to him. You teenagers, listen then. For here are words spoken to one in your age group, young man in Israel, all those years ago. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That surely says God was telling Jeremiah, I have placed you where you are in order that you might serve me and be a witness unto the nations. It was a tremendous responsibility being laid upon Jeremiah, and that's why he says in the next verse, verse 6, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." He was young. I think he might have been exaggerating how young he was when he says, "I am a child." But he was young, and he felt this heavy weight that God was laying upon him. Each one of us have been placed where we are by God for a purpose, for a purpose. He is that which he wants us to do. Well, I've come to the end of my time, but I want to look on Thursday at how the general influence of the people of God in this world is beneficial. We might think, when thinking about ourselves and estimating ourselves, we might think, "I'm not much good. I'm not much of a Christian." And we might lament that. But nevertheless, even though we might think ourselves of little benefit, I tell you, you're doing good. You're doing good. Have you ever heard of a firefly? I'm sure you have. Tiny little creature, the size of a mosquito, that has the ability to become luminous. And when the sun sets and it's dark, you can see these little creatures. Well, you can't see them, but you can see the light they produce, just on and off. Now, I don't know how many of them would be needed to light a room, probably millions, but even one produces enough light for it to be seen. We mightn't think ourselves of much benefit in this world, but no matter how poor we are as Christians, we produce light. We produce light. I'm going to think about that in a little more detail on Thursday in the will of the Lord. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, bless the word to the boys and the girls. I pray that, like the farmer sowing the seed, it doesn't stop when he drops the seed, but Lord, it begins to take root and grow. May what we have said begin to take root and grow in the hearts and minds of each one in our meeting today. Bless the school. O God, bless the school. And we cannot but ask thy blessing on little Andrew in hospital. O God, answer prayer, remembering too little Joel. O God, thou God of kindness, have mercy, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.